darkness. The paranormal, spiritual, and comedic abound. Welcome to the Richard Spazoff Show.
Alan, how are
you? Hi, Daryl. I'm pretty good, Daryl. How are you doing?
Good. Did you bring your wife flowers today, Alan?
Daryl, I'm wondering if my level is just, maybe not higher, but better. I think it's more effective than your level.
I think your level sucks. Sorry, Richard. My bad. I forgot we were on the air.
No, you're fine, guys. You're fine. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Richard Spazoff Show. Today's guest, Daryl and Alan. Hey, you guys, you want to give everyone your names, or maybe not?
Hello. What's up, everybody? This is Daryl Dziczek coming to you from Orlando, Florida, and with my co-author, Alan Migliorato.
I'm Alan. Nice to meet you guys. Well, I'm not meeting you, but I'm glad to be on the show. Thank you, Richard, for having us.
Well, thank you. We're going to talk about some things each week, and I guess we're starting off with all the stuff going on in the world today. What do you guys think? It's hard for people to have faith, but I know you do. I do. What would you suggest for them to have that faith? Turn to God, for sure, yes, but...
Well, you know, what's fascinating is I was just discussing this the other day. It might have been in the podcast. I think I was talking to somebody about it, but there's really not any time that I've found throughout any scripture, anywhere from Genesis to Revelation, that people come to God when there's no tragedy, when there's no something to overcome, and it's almost like people need to get stirred up once in a while to remember that God's there, so that we can. You know, be healed and be saved and be comforted.
My whole life has been a tragedy and good, so I've always turned to God. I mean, I've always, even during the good times, I always talk to Him, even during the bad times. So, for me, how about you, Daryl?
You know, I'm just going to go with Alan, but he's absolutely right. You know, we as people and human beings, try to make sense of suffering and pain, and just about a month ago, I was reading the book of Job. You know, for those who are not quite familiar, you know, Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible, and it's about a man who just has extreme suffering and things that go wrong in his life constantly, and he's trying to make sense of it. And I think things like going back to 9/11, going back to COVID-19, you know, we were there for a month or two, and people are like, okay, we're here, but now it's starting to mentally and emotionally weigh on people, and they have a choice: either get angry, right, or turn to God for comfort. And this is the right time, and time of stress and suffering is the time to turn to God. It has a great way of getting our attention.
Why don't we tell them how they could turn to God? Then it's easy to say it, but one way that I do it is through prayer, laying on the bed and just talking to God like He's my best friend, and the Holy Spirit comes in. I can feel that. How about you guys?
Alan?
You've got to surround yourself with God, you know, and it can't be where you compartmentalize God and you go to Him, you know, for 15 minutes once a week or an hour once a week. It's got to be a daily, it's got to be a conversation all the time with God. Thank you for that. Thank you for this. You know, and you're not going to pray, let me find a good sale on creamed corn today. I mean, maybe you will, but you've got to have that relationship with God where he's our Father. And so how many people would speak with their father, or if, you know, my father's not here anymore, I wish I could speak with my father, but if he was, I would talk to him about a lot of things, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly. You got to keep God involved with all of it.
You got to be in the state of grace in the sense of knowing that He's around you all the time. That's easy.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, it's easy, but like there, people are dealing with a lot right now, you know, yeah. and And with the regular stress that they have in their life, now we're compounded and we're quarantined, and people are reacting differently. I think that when times are good, people act like there's nothing wrong. And then when times are really bad and you can't really hide those times anymore, people have become so stressed. And this is exactly the time to bring everything to God.
It's all the time is, even during the good times.
It's interesting, Richard. I probably about maybe 6 to 7 months ago, I was just doing some reading, I forgot the name of it, but there is a tradition in Judaism where it's a lesser known tradition, and I wish I had the name, but it's where the person would go out and make time with God, like an hour, and they would go up to the rooftops and just talk to God. And if you're familiar with Fiddler on the Roof, in the scene where Tevye is walking the cow and milking the cow and in the barn, and he starts breaking out into song. I mean, that's exactly what it is. Is like what you talked about, laying on your bed and just verbalizing. All right, God, this is where I'm at. This is what's going on. And then the other side is you got to listen too. You got to lay there and listen.
Yes, so
I'd like to point out that. Yeah, that Daryl gets some extra bonus points for connecting God to Fiddler on the Roof and milking a cow. I just want to make sure we get those bonus points and stars on the calendar.
Okay, guys.
25 points, Richard, is what I want.
25 points. Okay, since we're talking about Fiddler on the Roof and milking a cow, I got a short one for you guys. When we talk about faith, there was times where I was supposed to give this one man a massage. I went to the hotel. And he turned out to be like a mob guy, which I did not know. When I got there, his two men escorted me to the top of the roof and started hanging me upside down by my feet. Now, I was scared to death, okay? I kept God with me all the time, even when I was scared. And I heard God tell me, stay calm, tell them a joke. So I did. I stayed calm. I said, hey, if you guys drop me, your boss is going to be mad because I won't be able to give him a massage. Anyways, eventually they let me go. They found out I was there to give the guy a massage. But in terms of turmoil, in any type of turmoil, God is always there.
Right.
Now, I did not expect that story, so I thought I was waiting for a punchline. So that's great. Did you end up giving him the massage?
Yes, and the last time, too, for that guy.
Well, there you go.
Okay. I wonder why.
Yeah, not much leaves us speechless, but I'm not sure what we do with that. But I'm glad, yes, God is everywhere in good and bad. I just think people recognize him more when they need something, and God can provide that comfort, that grace, that mercy that he always gives us. But in my opinion, we always have to bring everything to God, the good, the thanks, and everything like that.
And a lot of times the answer is no as well. And so we have to learn to accept that too.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. It's following God's Spirit, following the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit telling us what to do is not always easy, at least for me. There's times where do I have to, God? Do I really want, if we don't do it, we're just putting it off. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think you bring a good point, and just to kind of go back for Alan's sake, he did not know you are a massage therapist at one point in your career. So let's just that way you got to get caught up.
Yeah, that eases the story a little bit in my mind. We can continue our talk.
Well, okay, guys, wait. Before I say massage therapist, let me tell you, I used to be a dance instructor as well for the mafia's wives.
All right.
So that was a psychic medium for them. So that's what I did.
Nice.
Alan's going, oh no, what did I get myself into? So with that said,
so Richard, you hit a great point. Is there's two things we talk about, talking about to God and turning to God, and we kind of tend to just blurt it all out, which is a great first step. And a lot of people that struggle with God, that's a great first entry point. And I encourage our teenagers, when we wrote our book for our parents, but we also talked about how we've got to just find that connection with God. And the first step is turning to him and just saying, God, here's where I am at. You know, whether I believe in you, I don't believe in you, I'm struggling to believe in you. And we tell this to our teens all the time. But for adults like you and I and Alan here, or you and I, what we want to do, you can tell we're friends. Yes. The next step is to listen. Yeah. You know, like you were doing. And then the third step is to actually do what he says after we listen. And those are the hardest steps.
That's not easy to listen. No. We have to be still, right, guys? I mean, we have to be right in grace. We have to be quiet within ourselves. And we can't be blocking God. He's never going to come through if we do.
One of the largest problems I think men in particular have is being humble enough to hear God and obey what God tells us to do. You know, men don't even like to stop and ask for directions half the time because we handled it. You know, we got it. We don't want to seem that there's anything greater than us. You know, we got it handled. And, you know, it's one of those things where we need to be humble and say, you know, God is greater than we will ever be. And so we have to listen.
I'm always in trouble, Alan. I mean, I'm one person that I would ask for directions if I was a block away from the beach and trying to find it. I would stop at a gas station and go, excuse me, do you guys know where the beach is? I'm that way. But I know what you're saying. In general, men are like that. Men,
yeah, when we make comments like that, when we make comments like, well, men are this way, obviously not all men fit into any statement. Right. But in general, men have a lot of pride, you know, and whether it's in one way or another, one of the biggest problems I think that men have is that we fail to humble ourselves to, you know, to God.
Very much, but I lost my pride, so I have no problem in trying to humble myself.
Yeah, that's the best thing you could possibly do.
I know it is. I know. It's having the faith, like you said, learning how to follow God's path. And that's the key, but not always easy.
No.
There are so many things that I remember. There were times when I felt so much worry inside me, but I still had the love for God like I do today. Never lost God. Never. No matter what I was doing or who I was with, I always put God into my life first.
I think, you know, Richard, that's exactly what. And that's the lifelong struggle to put God first. And Alan's actually really, really amazing about that. And he, you know, in our youth ministry program, he's the one who drives that message home better than I do, you know, and more consistently with it. And it's a great reminder to me to on a daily, you know, a daily basis. And I work for the church during my day job. So, you know, one would think that, oh, Daryl, of course, you would always remember. And to be honest with you, it's like I get so busy working for God, I forget God. And Alan's been he's a great beacon of that message. And it's just awesome. So
absolutely.
So
you're welcome, Alan.
Alan, how do you bring that message forth then? Without words, without scripture, how do you bring it in with experience?
The biggest proponent of helping others find God is by leading the correct kind of life. You know, if the kids in our youth groups could look us up and see us partying and smoking weed and, you know, and me having other girlfriends aside from my wife, I mean, that would be preaching one thing and doing another. So
exactly.
We've got to live the kind of life that we expect, you know, that we preach. We have to preach what we believe, you know, believe what we read. You know, teach and preach what we read. So it's one of those things where we have to really strive hard to get our lives on the straight and narrow. And I think that the kids pick up in general more than we give them credit for just by observing. You know, it's not so much what we say; it is what we say to them, but it's more so what we do. And if we want our kids and our teenagers to grow up to be young adults who lead a good life, we've got to start leading good lives ourselves.
As an example, yes. But not always easy. Not easy.
Well, nothing's easy. But God, Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. That's terrifying. You know, it's like pick up your electric chair and follow me. That's a terrifying statement. So Jesus never says it's going to be easy. It's never easy, but it doesn't mean that it's not the right thing to do.
Correct. And we always have the devil or some kind of demon when we're trying to do good for God. There's always evil that's trying to intercept and stop us.
Oh, constantly. I mean, we're in a constant spiritual battle. You know, St. Paul writes about that. We are go ahead, Alan. You're gonna say something?
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Daryl.
No, Matt. I was hoping you'd step in.
I definitely have something to say about it. I was going to say the closer we get to God, the louder the devil shouts.
Yes.
At all times. So we absolutely have to be aware of that, you know. And I think being aware of it is part of our winning that spiritual battle. We've got to be aware of it. We've got to not to listen for the devil, because like Daryl always says, we got to stop talking to the snake, you know. And I think it's a brilliant thing that he says is, we got to stop talking about the snake and to the snake and listen for God's voice, because yes, we're always going to want to be pulled off that path one way or another, even slightly, you know. And a slight shift in direction right now means a major shift in direction, you know, a mile down the road. So we've got to be careful and cautious and correct ourselves and get to confession and get our lives back on track.
Staying on the right road as we're going along.
Yeah, something I like to do with the kids too is challenge them. You know, kids love a challenge, and we talk about that in Failing Forward in our new book. We talk about giving kids a challenge, and one of the challenges that I bring to the teenagers all the time is, you know, have you said a rosary? Have you said a rosary this week? You know, have you said? And if they're like, no, you know, it's a long series of prayers, and I'm like, okay, well, how about saying a decade? And, you know, and we start. Well, that's still a bit much. Ten Hail Marys is a bit much for me. So then I'll text them and say, hey, let's say I'll say a Hail Mary together at 9 o'clock tonight. You know, and so we start with one. So we see where they're at, you know, and when we meet them where they're at, and then we travel with them to where they need to go. And that's how ministry should work.
Good idea. Yes. Slow. You know, it's in the days of the 1950s is when priests would get more involved with the youth. You don't see that today too much. I mean, when they're out in the streets, in the gangs, you know, spreading, just being with them to, I've been watching too many Bowery Boys. Sorry, guys. I mean.
Well, you know, Richard, it's cool because I know last time when I was on with you here, we started going down that road a little bit and talking about the deal. You know, why is that? You know, what's going on? So, we need more people. You know, now we need more lay people pushing people, you know, get close to God, get close to God, stay close to God.
Let me offer something as a suggestion, right? Okay. I think that priests would be more apt to get involved if they had more support from their parish, from the people in the parish.
Good call.
And I know we like to throw it on the priest all the time and say, hey, how come that priest never comes to youth group? You know, how come I only see him at youth group when there's the kind of food he likes, or, you know, when we beg him and we have to drag him over here. Well, I think if we got behind our priests and said, listen, you know, I want you to stop calling them pedophiles because they're not all pedophiles. I want you to start respecting this man because he's put 12 years of his life into studying to be this priest, and give him some respect. And we need to stand up for our priests more so than you know, hide when somebody calls them a pedophile, and hide when somebody says, well, we don't need them. You know, they take all the money from us, and that's all they ask for.
There's a lot of good priests out there. There are a lot of good priests.
And a lot of people need a spiritual smack, you know, they really do. And we need to start standing up for these priests. And if we stood up for them, the priests wouldn't be ashamed and embarrassed and afraid to come out in front of everybody and say, hey, you know, I want to be involved. What are your kids doing? And we wouldn't worry, because parents would be there as well. So I'm going to say it's on the parents just as much as it's on
the priests.
But
I'm not talking so much about the parish itself as – Alan knows I was referring more of the priests going out into the cities.
Right,
But there too. I mean, the people from the parish don't live in a commune. We live in the cities.
Correct.
And so we need to be there supporting them.
Yes, we do. Yes, yes, yeah. Oh, nowadays, though, it's not easy with the way this world is. Everybody, the police are being put down, priests are being put down, and there's a lot of good priests. There's a lot of good policemen, and it's this evil again gets a hold of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't we get your guys' website so they could take a look at where you are?
That's AdventureCatholic.com. AdventureCatholic.com is the place where you can buy both of our books that we have on the site, and you can hear different podcasts.
Thank you, Alan and Daryl, for being here today. You've been tuned in to the Richard Spassoff Show.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Richard Spassoff Show. For more episodes and information, join us online at psychicmediumspassoffshow.com or catch the show on Spreaker, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. The Richard Spassoff Show is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more great content and shows, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com or download our free HC Universal Network podcast app from your favorite device market. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and until next time, keep watch on the darkness.